coming to you from the top of the SmartWorks Tower. Nestled between the massage parlor and donut shop in beautiful downtown Red Bluff, it's the PenPals.Buzz podcast. Need a genuine connection? This is the place to learn how a pen pal can change your life. And, oh yeah, they just happen to be in prison. But Big Steve will never judge. He's open-minded, he's a little quirky, and he's ready for another adventure. So get your postage stamps, grab a pen and paper, and get comfy for 30 minutes of pen pal pleasure. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
Yeah, it's Monday, October 21st, and man, these Mondays, they just come faster and faster. I feel like I was just talking to Brian Drips, the convicted killer in the Angie Dodge case. He joined us last week to tell his story, and now I'm back right here in the same room. It's about 11 feet by 11 feet. The door is closed. There are no windows. Basically, you could say I'm in a solitary confinement cell. But the only difference is I can open the door and walk outside and have a Diet Coke and drive to the casino down Highway 273 and do whatever I want. I'm not stuck here for 23 hours a day. And, well, I also have a nice plant and some nice plush carpeting and some other things that you wouldn't have if you were stuck in what they call the hole. Because inmates, when they're talking to other inmates, they're not going to be saying, I hope I don't go to solitary confinement. That's never used. What you hear that term when you're watching, you know, something on television, when you're reading a crime novel, they're going to be like, oh, he's in a solitary confinement cell. But what they're really called, if you're in the loop, they'll call it the hole. They'll call it SEG, ADSEG, the SHU, which stands for Segregated Housing Unit. I've also heard RHU, Restrictive Housing Unit. They have all these words, and it's essentially all the same. You're locked in a small room, maybe about 10 by 10, cement floor, a thin mattress pad on top of a metal bunk. If you're lucky, you've got a little tiny desk you can sit out with one of those hard metal stools. And then, of course, there's the toilet sink combo that flushes very loudly, which would wake up half of the prison if you have to flush the toilet, God forbid, in the middle of the night. Now, here's the interesting thing. These prisons all around the country, that these departments of corrections, they're all saying, oh, we love our inmates. They're not inmates anymore. We call them residents. We call them clients. They're not inmates. They're just clients here at our facility, and they can't leave for 30 years. But no, that's an inmate. That would be rude. That would be insulting. So let's call them a resident. My point is they're dressing this up to sound like it's something they're not. You get these docs, these DOCs all around the country, and they say things like, we no longer use solitary confinement for punishment. And everybody reads that in the paper. They read the headline on Google, and they're like, oh, that's great. They stopped using the solitary confinement. And why would they do that? Well, for a lot of reasons. It's been considered torture by the United Nations. It's, you know, I think people realize how horrific that can be mentally and physically long term. And then when these people do get out, you know, they're going to be really pissed off, right? They've been locked in a room with nothing for years, and then they get out there, they're not going to be super happy. So everyone said you should stop doing that, and these prisons said, oh, we don't do that anymore for punishment. We don't punish people with solitary confinement anymore. But here's the catch, because there's always a loophole. Always a loophole. And the loophole is they don't punish you with solitary confinement anymore, but they use it for administrative reasons. Administrative reasons, and that could be anything. And some of the administrative reasons that they use solitary confinement for could be something as simple as somebody has a disability. Somebody has epilepsy, for instance, and let's say they're in a jail in Washington. Somebody might have a broken leg. Somebody might have a mental health disorder that they're dealing with. They put all of these guys in a solitary cell, and when you're punished in these cells, it's only for sometimes 3 days or 7 days, or I think the maximum would be 21 days for punishment. But if you have epilepsy and you're going into the segregation solitary cell for administrative reasons, you could be there for a year or several years. As we're going to find out from an inmate's mother, Kim Romero, who will be, we're going to actually be calling her here in a few minutes. She's in Washington. Her son, Nick Romero, is a Penpals.buzz member, and he is stuck in a solitary cell, or I think there they would call it a segregation cell. Adseg. I don't know what they call it, but it doesn't really matter what they call it, because what it is a room where you're locked in with nobody. You have no access to other people. You don't have time to go to recreation. You don't get to go outside. You might get to take a shower once a week. I don't know how often, maybe every 3 or 4 days, and they shackle you and take you into the shower. And they say, that's not punishment. That's just to help you. If you have that disability, we're just helping you stay safe. And we're gonna give you this helpful treatment by locking you in a solitary cell. Now it's just the administrative restrictive housing unit segregation cell. So it's different. And they can sometimes get around it and make it seem not so bad because, you know, back in the day, you go to the hole, as we call it, you don't get anything. You get no tablet. They didn't have tablets back then. You have no email. You get no access to phone calls. You get a book. Sometimes they'd wheel this cart of books, but half of the pages are torn out, and you end up usually just getting the Bible. Not that that's a bad thing. I know lots of people like the Bible, but you know what? I'm just saying, this is me personally. I'm sorry if I offend you, but if I'm locked in a segregation cell for an extended period of time and I've got nothing, I don't really want to read the Bible. I'm just not in the mood for the Bible. You know what? Give me anything else. Give me Tom Clancy. Give me Stephen King. Give me something to get my mind off of my situation. So you get in there, you get nothing. Then they say, well, we'll give you these tablets and you can email, and then it's not so bad. It's not like being in solitary confinement. You can even, maybe if you're lucky, you can have an MP3 player. You can have your 13-inch television. Maybe you can watch some, you know, whatever, 48 hours. I don't know what you watch, but that's how they get around it, and they make it seem like it's a helpful thing. But they're throwing these guys with disabilities in there just like it's nothing. In fact, in the country, according to lots of reports, about 125,000 men and women in America are currently in a solitary cell. Say about 5% of the total prison population. In Washington, it's even worse. And one of the reasons why is they don't have any oversight in Washington, and they don't have any rules that really have to be followed about how they can use these cells and when and for how long. So each prison, each jail, each city that some of the jails are in, they can just kind of make up their own rules and regulations and just kind of do what they want. It's like the Wild West, except it's in the Northwest. It's Wild Washington, we can call it. And if you don't believe me, check out the Seattle Times. They'll tell you all about it in the Seattle Times. There's also the Amplifying Voices of Inmates with Disabilities group, which is AVID. This is staffed by former inmates. It's also staffed by attorneys and also by law students, and they work together. They found that solitary confinement, in particular in Washington, disproportionately affects people with disabilities. Now, this is true. They put so many people with disabilities in there for no other reason than the fact they're disabled. How would that go over, really, in the free world? Can you imagine that? If you're, let's say, in a home, an old folks home, what do they call that now, a retirement community, and they say, oh, anyone with a disability, we're going to lock you in a room and not let you come out, except for 1 hour a day. We'll let you walk around the break room. Everyone else can be out with their friends, and they can play bingo, and they can take the bus to Walmart on the field trip, and they can go to the dining hall and have a nice meal. But you guys with disabilities, you lock yourself in that room. We're not letting you out. Imagine how that would go over. You know, but when people are in prison, it's just people don't really care. Nobody cares. It's like, they deserve it. They can rot in there. No big deal. One reason, as Kim Romero is probably going to be telling us, is because most of these people get out. And some of these people might be your neighbor. Some of these people might be working at the same movie theater that your daughter works at. And they're going to be pissed off. They're not going to be happy. They're not going to be well-adjusted. They're not going to be rehabilitated. They're just going to be beat down and beat down and beat down. And then finally released. And they say, well, good luck. Have a good life out there. And that's not who we want out in the world. It's just not. It's just not. United Nations calls this torture. The Americans with Disabilities Act says this is a huge violation. For one, inmates aren't able to benefit nor participate in any of the normal services, programs, or education that are offered to all the other inmates, which is hugely discriminatory, especially when it's not used for punishment. You think maybe punishment would be the use of this, not just putting people in there indiscriminately. They also say that being locked in a segregation unit such as this makes you far less likely to have a successful reentry into society. That's what I've been saying. They just say it more eloquently, and it's printed if you do a Google search, the Americans with Disabilities Act and solitary confinement. You'll find all this. Physicians also have recognized and stated how harmful this is, both physically and mentally. Causes gastrointestinal problems. It causes eyesight problems, migraines, joint pain, anxiety, depression, paranoia. It can even lead to psychosis and suicide. There's been a ton of suicide attempts just in Washington, but they say, well, it's for your safety. It's for your health. It's for your own good. Or my favorite is they say, well, the lieutenant said we have to do this, so we can't argue with the lieutenant, whoever he might be. He's probably making $21 an hour as the Walmart manager and just got an upgrade to lieutenant, and now he's making $21.25, and he gets to decide how and when we torture inmates for no other reason than the fact they're disabled. So that's a lovely job, probably one I won't be applying for. What I am going to be doing, though, is calling Kim Romero. Her son, Nick, again, is on penpals.buzz. You can go to our website and search for Nick Romero. Good-looking guy, man. I think all the ladies are going to be messaging him. I noticed the ones that seem to get more, letters and emails have profile pictures without a shirt on. Unfortunately, I couldn't pull that off. I could, but I don't think I'd get the desired results. But some of those guys with no shirts on work out all the time. They're going to get more. They're going to get more ladies. And just a little tip, little insider tip here from Big Steve and the penpals.buzz podcast. Let's get Kim on the phone if we can. Let's dial her up here.
Hello.
Kim, it's Big Steve from penpals.buzz. How are you?
I thought it might be you. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Always a crazy place to be meeting for the first time on the Prison Pen Pal podcast. But Kim, you signed your son up, Nick, for a profile on our site.
I did.
And now he's been in a solitary cell for almost the entire year, 2024, right?
He started that in April. He had 1 week out, and then he's been there ever since. They put him in there and they don't give him a review to review for him to get out is not until late December, early January. And when they say possibly late December, it's probably going to be January. That's just how they are. There's no rush to it. So they don't even review the situation. In this case, it's going to be like 8 months. Let's see. June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January. So 8 months.
Yeah.
Before he's even reviewed to get out.
Really, really crazy. I was doing some research specifically on Washington. He's there at the Washington Correction Center in Shelton. And Washington's one of the few states where they don't actually have any rules about how long someone can be kept in this type of situation. And then I've read the jails there are especially bad. They're putting anyone with a disability just gets locked down in a solitary cell.
Correct. Correct. And a lot of it's a housing issue. So if there's mental issues, if there's political issues on the yard, if there's just bed issues, things like that, they go right to solitary confinement. That's their go-to in Washington. They put out a huge report. In the report, they're saying they're trying to, basically do away with it in Washington, but that's not happening. What they do is they call it something else, yeah. Administrative segregation.
I was looking at that, and they were showing how the statistics have dropped so much for solitary, but then they call it RHU, administrative segregation, restrictive housing, anything at all they can call it to make it appear to people that they're not using it.
That's 100% correct. So you have all these people who are in there for administrative, I'm using air quotes, purposes. And then we just sit and wait with no knowledge of what's going to happen. They won't really discuss it much. I do my due diligence with counselors and classification officers and all of that. And you get a lot of lip service, they understand and yeah, and blah, blah, blah. But when it boils down to it, there's somebody in Olympia who's like, Oh, so you can get all the way through everybody at the institution and have it figured out, but then it'll go to Olympia and they will just change the whole thing. That's what happened this time. He was approved to go somewhere, and then Olympia turned it down and put him in solitary confinement instead. It's really difficult.
You look at the statistics and you look at, you know, the United Nations calls this torture, and you look at over 176 people that have attempted suicide in these Washington segregation units in the last 10 years. Over a dozen have died of suicide while in this situation. And then the physicians come out with reports showing all the things that this can cause physically and mentally, gastrointestinal problems and going blind and migraines and paranoia, depression, and all kinds of ailments.
Paranoia and depression is real. You know, what really bothers me, not just for my son, but for society, imagine most of these men are getting out. They're going to get out someday. So we're putting them in situations where they have no interaction with people.
Yeah.
And so isolating like that, imagine the effects on society when they do get out. They don't know how to engage in conversation. They don't know how to just interact normally with people because they've been isolated for so long. There's people in there who've been in there for years.
Years. Across the country, they have over 125,000 people that are in these solitary types of cells. I don't know how many specifically in Washington, but I know it's a lot. And I know just from the research we did briefly, Washington was one of the worst states as far as the numbers go for this sort of thing. And that's because they don't have any regulations. They've come out and said, we don't use this for punishment. And everyone thinks, oh, that's great, good job. But then they just, oh, no, but we're going to use it for other reasons, or it's for his own good, or it's to keep the facility safer. Then I know they used it all the time for COVID, thinking, oh, it's for, you know, so we can stop the COVID Correct. Spread and whatever reason they come up with. But really, I think they just need to fill the beds. However many solitary cells they have, that's how many are going to be filled.
Oh, I was talking to an advocate for prison reform about this issue. And she told me that in Washington, they're funding for the beds in IMU, which is intensive management unit. That's mm-hmm. another, you know, correct term for solitary confinement.
Yeah.
And I haven't researched this myself, so I don't know if this is true, but she told me that their funding for those beds is actually higher for than a regular bed in population. So when they get funding for beds, the IMU beds get more money. She's pretty, you know, aware of what's going on. There was a bill last year that died about solitary confinement. But the thing is, exactly, you hit it on the head when you said, oh, we're not using it for punishment. They have lessened it for punishment. But, you know, the thing is maybe that's not where it should be lessened. You know, if somebody is getting in trouble and they need to be taken out for a minute from population because issues are happening, it's less of a problem for me than for somebody who is got political problems on the yard or mentally has problems, those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You have a guy getting into fights and stabbing people and causing problems and selling drugs to the inmates, and he's not put into this seg unit, but then you've got maybe someone with epilepsy or a diabetic or someone with a broken ankle, and they're going to throw them in there just because they, you know, oh, it's better for you. And, you know, the other right. sad thing, what was really sickening to me, and it's not surprising because we see this so often, but this article that's going all around the world news, I think it was on CNN, it was even on Fox, it was everywhere, and it says Washington DOC sends 100 staff members to Norway so they can learn how to have a more peaceful, wonderful prison, you know, because in Norway, they don't do any of this crap. They actually let the inmates go home on the weekends, you know. So people read that and think, oh, Washington, wow, they're really working hard. It's just this illusion they want to paint in the media.
It's a facade.
Yes.
It's a facade, because when it comes down to it, they're not really working on it. They use isolation for anything that they can't figure out a solution to, or they don't have the right type of housing set up. Or most of the men in segregation are there doing what's called a program. So they're not there for punitive reasons.
Any kind of programming, again, they're going to get a lot more funding.
Well, they call it programming, but here's the real, the real to it. It's not programming. They've been pulled out of programming. Programming is when they're out of isolation, they have access to high school programs, to GED, to vocational programs, dog programs, treatment programs. In isolation, they give them booklets that are very basic. They're not going through them with anybody. They're just filling them out, and that's what they call the program.
Yeah, that's sick.
So what's that worth? Yeah. You know, they're not learning anything. They're not getting direction. They're not getting rehabilitation whatsoever. They are just stuck in a hole with no human contact.
And even when they do get any kind of rec, I saw a picture of their quote-unquote recreation area that looked like a someplace that a serial killer might, you know, lock up a victim in a cement rectangular cage, basically. That's no place to get...
Oh, you've done your research.
Oh, I saw a picture, and it I was like, that's no place to get your... I mean, it wasn't outside, for one. It was indoors. There was a roof over the... There was a roof, so you couldn't see the sky. It just looked like a hell place.
You're 100% right. They get that in Washington five hours a week. And that's their recreation.
So are you...
And it's by themselves.
Tell me how, Kim, how is this, like, other than just being pissed off, which you have every right to be, because we are as well. I wish actually every inmate's mom was like you, because I think the system would change with enough people. We need more vocal. We got to get the story out there. But how has Nick's situation affected you and your family? Is he able to... Are you able to visit him as much? Are you able to get as many phone calls? What's changed? What's made things worse between the two of you?
Well, visiting's a big one. Visiting is very limited. So when they're in isolation, they only have 2 days, and it's only for 2 hours, and it's behind glass. So it's really, really, really hard to see your loved one behind glass, where you... when regular visits are in person, and you can play cards and buy them some food, and it gives you a sense of normalcy. But when you have to visit them in IMU, it's done behind glass. Sometimes there's only one phone. So if there's two people visiting, you have to trade off. You can't have a conversation between the three. You don't get to hug them. And it's really difficult to, when you have to visit like that. It's instead of being excited for a visit, because you want to see them, you love them.
Yeah.
But it's almost a dread, because you have to see them in that situation. And it's really hard. Mm-hmm. You can't give them a hug. They're right there, but you can't touch them. It's really, really difficult.
What are you able to share, you know, at least generally, what reason they put him in there?
Safety and security. That's their buzzword.
And they
That's
give him buzzword. They give him a tablet, and they're like, well, it's not that bad because he's got his tablet.
I'm grateful for the tablet. Yeah. I will say that's one thing that I'm grateful for. But not everybody gets them. Not everybody gets them. Only some people. And the tablets are very expensive. I can't even tell you how much money I spend on messages and phone calls. But during the time periods when he is in isolation, I take every call. I message throughout the day. I send videos. And I will say that the tablets are helpful, and they do a lot for us, because we can stay in contact better. But it's about the money for them. I mean, they're expensive. They're not actually doing that to help us.
But they want you to think they are, though, and that makes them feel better, I guess. That's how they can sleep at night when they go home. Oh, yeah, we're helping them.
Right.
We gave them a tablet. You know, my wife complains to me that I spend too much time on my phone at night, and like laying in bed and playing a game. I think if I went through that situation, I don't think I'd ever be on my phone. If I was stuck on a tablet for a year in a solitary cell, I think I'd smash that thing when I got out. I want no more screens. And that's just, it's terrible.
They're only linked to the world. And as a mother, I can't even tell you the pain I feel that he is locked away with no human contact. It lives with me moment to moment. There's hardly a time during the day that I'm not worried about him. Even though he's in a cage, he can't really get in trouble. Nothing can happen to him. However, we're talking physical, right? What about mental?
Oh,
the
yeah.
mental anguish of no human contact. None. It's horrible. And again, I say, how are we putting these people back into the world after we do this to them?
What would you suggest if maybe there's other people in similar situations, other parents that are listening to this with their kids in a similar situation, or even just people that are concerned in general? Is there anything they can do?
There's a couple things that they can do. If you have a loved one in this situation, it helps to be there for them, to talk to them. You run out of things to talk about because their world is so narrow right now. It's hard to find things to talk about, but I try to find things that we can watch together. Like, we put a little money in a crypto account and him and I, watch that, books, they need books in there because they don't really provide much, and just trying to be there for them. And as far as somebody who cares, watch your legislation, And when bills are up for vote and there's legislation behind it, be part of it. Vote the people in who support reform, and email your legislators that this is a bill that you support, because that's how I'm assuming that's how we're going to see change is laws.
Yeah, I know change, it never happens by, like they say, good people doing nothing. When we just sit back and watch, then the change probably won't go our way. So I know, get out there and do your part and have a voice, because this is just, it's not acceptable. And it's even worse that they try to paint this rosy picture on how they're making everything better.
You've really looked into it and seen the truth, because that's what they do. They maneuver the numbers. They call it something else. They do all that to make the numbers and the reports look like something's happening. But in the reality of it, it's very broken.
The only good news in all of this is we're going to be getting Nick a lot of beautiful women writing to him here. I know he's a popular guy on penpals.buzz, so that's going to be a good thing long term. He'll have somebody to write.
Let me tell you, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the pen pal sites, because people do reach out, and it's a light in their day. It's a light in their day. Boy, you can change somebody's whole week with an email.
Yeah, just that one email or that one letter, and it, especially if it's like a thick envelope. I remember those days. It was like, oh man, so that's that changes your whole world. So hopefully, I know it's, he's stuck there until he gets out, but at least maybe we can make a difference.
You guys provide a wonderful service, because I'm telling you, it's a big deal to these guys when they hear from somebody.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve, but he'll be back Monday with another edition of the penpals.buzz podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. Penpals.buzz is a division of Snaptura Inmate Services.
Open the door. I got to get out of this room. Let me out of here. Bye, everybody.